Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon, who's playing Superman for the station. But I got Evan on the board, you on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. We are recapping some of the stories that you may have missed last week with the primary election results that we were breaking down all last week, as well as the Gableman news and some of the Trump Mar-a-Lago news, the former guy. But as I was touching base on this story before we went to the break, we've got two Minnesota men charged with federal crimes in the 2020 Kenosha unrest. And so law enforcement went through and essentially found all of the video evidence, Evan, of this case as it unfolded, because it was all on camera. We found out as well, and these two are just the two latest individuals to be charged, a 24-year-old man and a 30-year-old man. Were charged in April with conspiracy to commit offenses against the United States. That's the crime that they're facing. Conspiracy to commit offenses against the United States. The complaint was unsealed when they were indicted last Tuesday. So this is what was going on. The best of the reading of this federal complaint, these individuals, along with three other Minnesota men, who were also charged last year in relation to the arson and burglary. The complaint says that the unrest in Kenosha began after the Jacob Blake, a black man, was shot by Kenosha police officer Rusty Shekin on August 23rd, 2020. On August 25th, Illinois teenager Kyle Rittenhouse shot three people, killing two. Last fall, a jury acquitted him of all charges. So this complaint is literally smack dab in the middle. These five Minnesota men came after the Jacob Blake shooting on the 23rd, on the 24th, led to the arson and looting that Kyle Rittenhouse himself used as the justification of why he was there with his gun the next day. And so, literally, this has been talked about, how there was scenes in Minneapolis last year after George Floyd was killed by Minneapolis Police Department. Police officer. He wasn't killed by the department. Excuse me. There were men walking around in all black with tactical gear that were smashing open windows and then getting in vans and driving away. There are actors out there that are trying to make it seem like rioting and looting was hand-in-hand in connection with the protests against police brutality, that these two are two in the same. And it is crazy to think that we have to wait 2 years to find out that, no, in fact, there was actually coordination by opportunists that wanted to link those two together and went and committed those crimes of arson and looting in an attempt to make it a media narrative that was linking the two. And it's just crazy that we're finally seeing this unsealed indictment of these men who were charged for the planned attacks in Kenosha in 2020.
And just imagine, if we had a politicized Justice Department, they'd be trotting this from the highest hilltops, using, you know, the loudest megaphone they had. You know? And yeah, technically, that's the sort of stuff we'd love to hear. We'd love to have that vindicated. But no, that's not how a professional agency operates. So yeah, 2 years is a long time. But I'm glad that, you know, we're getting some of this back.
I don't know if we're getting it back, though, Evan. It's just, it's there are still those political opportunists out there. There are still people that are going to frame this upcoming fall's election, Governor Evers and down ballot, for individuals, especially more conservative individuals attacking Democratic incumbents, blaming them for that unrest in 2020, even though these were coordinated efforts by bad actors from out of state. Literally, Kyle Rittenhouse came from Illinois, and these men charged came from Minnesota. These were not Wisconsinites that were doing these crimes. These were coordinated efforts, and I'm honestly, we've seen the three percenters and the Proud Boys lock arms with Kyle Rittenhouse since that trial and since the shooting. He was, when he was on bail, he was in a bar in Kenosha drinking on, like, on an underage drinking with these individuals. And so I'm curious to know, to the further extent that we are going to get details out of these federal indictments, because they were charged and now the sentencing is going to come down. But that is a heck of a conspiracy. Like, the crime is conspiracy against the United States. Conspiracy to commit offenses against the United States. So those charges better be coming down heavily, is all I got to say, because we need to have that conversation. That the media narrative, especially the conservative media narrative, that the unrest had to do exclusively with the protests, is completely undone when you find out that the looting and rioting that occurred and the arson that occurred was from bad actors coming in from out of state and taking advantage of a narrative that wanted to frame it that way and then did. And so that is one of the major headlines that I feel like we did not get to talk about nearly enough, and it's something I will be keeping an eye on as those court cases develop. The next one up we got is Milwaukee and incumbent governor Tony Evers, one step closer to closing the long embattled Lincoln Hills Youth Prison in northern Wisconsin, north central Wisconsin. And so I got a piece again over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, because the Milwaukee Common Council supports a new juvenile prison on the city's northwest side to replace Lincoln Hills. This is by Allison Dyer over at the Sentinel. A proposed site for the new youth prison in Milwaukee to replace Lincoln Hills gained its first key approval Friday from the city's Common Council just days after the plan was announced. It was an 11-1 vote in support of the measure, followed brief comments from council members about the upcoming process and assurances that there would be opportunities for the public to weigh in as the neighbors expressed alarms about their lack of input ahead of the vote. So this is the first vote, and still, some residents in Milwaukee are nervous. And that's been the hardest part about this process, has been finding a replacement site for Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake, the two juvenile facilities in northern, north central Wisconsin, that for the better part of a decade, longer than a decade now, we knew from the former Governor Walker administration that these sites needed to be closed down. And Governor Evers, when he was first elected in 2018, vowed that he would close them, and he worked to try to do that. But the Republican-led Wisconsin legislature did not work with him on that goal. And it took until the end, one of the last things that snuck in this last legislative cycle before the Republicans in the Wisconsin State Assembly and State Senate decided to go take a 10-month paid vacation, 9.5 months in some cases, but take that better part of the year off, was that they approved a fund for the selection of a new site for this juvenile facility. And so Milwaukee Common Council has now adopted, or began the process, passed an approval to begin the process for finding this new site. And the only reason the Republicans passed that in this last legislative cycle before they went on the paid vacation was because Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu seemed to want to try to angle and say that the only reason they passed it was because former Lieutenant Governor and at the time gubernatorial candidate Rebecca Clayfish asked them to. So not that she was in power or anything like that to have any say over the facility, site selection, or anything. She's been out of government for the last 4 years. But the Republican leaders wanted to give a seeming win to former Lieutenant Governor Clayfish in this process, despite Evers being the one in the governorship and calling for this to happen. So we've got a vote from the Milwaukee Common Council. It is still a long way from being done, but we've got a potential site in Milwaukee where a new youth facility will be located. So let's head over to the phone lines. We've got one Earl Ingram calling in on the topic.
Who is this guy?
Earl, what's on your mind today? What's going on, man?
Man, congratulations. You guys sound really, really good. And the subject that you are talking about, you know, I've lived in the city my entire life, The Lincoln Hills issue has been going on for the better part of 10 years. As there has been an ongoing fight from family members whose children have been jettisoned off to Lincoln Hills 10 miles away. And when you're talking about juveniles who've been mistreated in that prison, this argument about finding a location has been an ongoing thing. And finally, after all of this debate, finally a site comes up. And, you know, the argument that Republicans have, you're right on point with that, Luke. Luke.
Yeah, but say you're right on the money.
You got my – yeah, you got it right.
Yeah, you're right on the money. And so what has happened is they were going to tear down a facility that has been in that place, an adult facility, mm-hmm. for the past 22 years, very successful facility right in the community where people who have been locked up can come and blend into the community and then turn their lives around. So they were going to tear that one down in order to build this facility. So it's been an ongoing just cluster, you know what. And so I'm happy to finally see that this is finally going to happen, and many others in this community are also happy. And it wouldn't have happened had it not been for Governor Tony Evers.
Yeah, been...
That's the thing that people need to know.
Yes, and the governor has been consistent in calling for the closure of Lincoln Hills and working... Republican-led Wisconsin legislature does not do Governor Evers any favors. They started off the relationship by passing lame duck legislation and having it signed by the outgoing governor to strip his office of powers. And you still hear that, oh, well, why hasn't Evers done more? Well, he's been hammering this issue throughout his entire first term, Earl. And the fact that we're finally seeing some motion on it, I think, is just because... He has been working consistently at trying to make this happen. And so it's great to see that we've got a vote to begin the process with the Milwaukee Common Council. And yeah, I can only imagine this isn't an issue that I have watched that closely. I mean, I've known about it for the better part of the last decade, Earl, but I know that you have also been talking about it for the last decade.
Luke, I don't want to take up any more of your time. Keep on doing what you're doing. The only thing I want to add is, if the people don't understand by now how important Governor Evers is, then you know, it's tough enough to deal with other issues, but we have to do everything we can to make sure that Governor Evers remains the governor, or else, you know, more and more things that aren't good and right for the citizens of the state of Wisconsin, we're going to perish under that. All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks for your call.
Thanks,
this afternoon, Earl. And yeah, I think it's interesting to note that this problems like Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake aren't problems that Republicans are truly looking to solve. It was a can that the Walker-Clayfish administration continued to kick down the road. They did not adequately address the problems that got so bad to the point where now the facilities need to be closed in Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake. So the ignoring of the problem does not solve the problem, and that's what the previous administration had done. And it's great to see that the hard work that this administration, the Evers administration, has been putting in to try to solve this problem seems to be leading towards a solution. And I'm not going to count the chickens before they hatch, but hopefully this site selection means that progress is going to be made, and hopefully the children, that's what they are, they're children. And yes, they may have broken laws and they need this facility, but they're children and they should not be subject to the inhumane conditions at Lincoln Hills and Copper Lakes. So thank you, Evers, for working on this problem. Folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. One more segment left in the day. We'll be right back. I'm pearly like the white.